This is one of these mornings I'm just not overly organized or something like that, so bear with me a little bit here. God doing so many good things, it's hard to keep up with it sometimes. That'll be my excuse, okay? as we talk about the Holy Spirit, there is a line in this song, I wasn't familiar with that last song very much, and I was hoping it was going to repeat so I could catch it again. Something about in the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's really about Jesus. We've been talking about that, right? That the Holy Spirit doesn't just want to draw attention to Himself, but He's the conduit. He's the way that we come to Jesus, and so we need to do that and understand all of that. But before I get into that, let's talk about these announcements a little bit, okay? The bulletin had just crammed full. Chris was, boy, I don't know anymore. We can't fit him in there. We are wanting to start just some small groups again, and we did the Faith and Fellowship group most of last year. And so just starting these small groups, I'm only planning on them going through Revival Weekend. So I think that's like 4 weeks of that, if my calculations are right. And we've been working at fixing up the parsonage. We got some new living room furniture in there. So I thought, hey, let's try to have a small group there and just enjoy that beautiful, beautiful facility that people have worked on. We're still working on the dining room table to get in there, but that's nice. So I really just see that as a kind of an informal time and a time of discussion. You guys are so good and so patient on Sunday mornings of sitting there and listening to me talk. I would love for you to come Sunday night and I could listen to you talk and ask questions and just have that dialogue. You know, it's preaching is good, but the discussion and the back and forth, it can be so helpful to us. And as we're talking about spiritual gifts and that, thought that might be the topic for tonight, but we're open to that. And then, boy, this all-church meal, the last one went so well, and I survived cooking spaghetti, so I'm coming up a notch, and we're going to try lasagna, okay? So I hope you can come and just come and enjoy that meal together. You know, I would, tells us in Scripture to practice hospitality. And I need a lot of practice. And I would love to have you just all over to my house and things like that. That could take a long time. So I can just invite you all over to the church and enjoy that meal together. You don't need to bring anything, but would just love to come and have that fellowship. Are looking to have maybe a time afterwards of just testimony and praise. And no pressure on that. But I know God's doing things in our lives. God is always faithful. We always can be thankful for the salvation that He's given us, for the church that He's given us. And a lot of times I hear in the church, oh, I miss the old, us old-timers in the church at least. Oh, I miss the testimony times. And that's hard to do on a Sunday morning just because I preach so long, you know. And I have so much to say. We can't take 10, 15 minutes for testimonies. But I think that's a valuable part of the church as well, is that sharing. And what is God doing in your life? He is active and wanting to be involved with each of us. And it really encourages us to be able to share those or to hear what God's doing in other lives. And it can also be a time of just prayer requests too. You know, sometimes our testimony is, I'm just really struggling. I'm just holding on here these days. As Stacy said, you know, devil's doing all of that and all I'm doing is standing. And that's sometimes all God wants us to do too or calls us to do. So there's room for all of that. And then the special meetings coming up, we're working at trying to promote those on social media. And so there's, maybe you saw a post this week on that, and hopefully they're coming out weekly and that on that. And for they're really pushing the limits here. For the first time in my life, I liked a post on Facebook. you know, I've got this mic thing down now, you know, and we just encourage you, you know, next week we're going to have postcards or that you can hand out to neighbors and things like that, if that's more your style. We'd have had them today, but the paper cutter in their mail functioned. Or more truthfully, the person trying to cut the paper mail function. So there's a best bunch of messed up ones back there, but we will have those next week. But realizing, again, coming with the times and the change of the times, we don't necessarily hand out postcards or mail invitations anymore and stuff like that. We do it all on social media. And so there is a way, again, to invite your friends, to make people aware of this and things like that. So you can like and share and tag and all those things. And if you don't understand that any better than I do, Cheryl has made out a little instruction sheet that's available in the back of here's how you like, here's how you share, here's how you maybe tag somebody, and some suggestions on how to effectively use social media. Okay, we're getting into the 21st century? Okay. You know, 25 years late, but we're doing it. Or some of you have maybe been there a long time, but some of us are catching up. So just be aware of all of those things coming on. Again, there's exciting things in the church going on. You also notice at the very front of your bulletin, as long as I'm just rambling and Stacy's giving me extra time here today. There's a new tagline there on the front there. Before it used to say, transforming lives, churches, and communities through the hope of the holiness of Jesus Christ. And that's a line we got from our district headquarters that they use on their thing, and we just borrowed that. Good stuff. I don't know that we're transforming churches and communities. We would like to transform our church and our community. So in just thinking of that and the vision for our church, what it is, I've come up with these lines. Live the gospel, to share the gospel, and be a disciple, to make disciples. Now, that's still a work in progress. So I am open for some suggestions on that, and that might be one of the Sunday night discussions as well, just what is our vision? What is our call for our church? Okay, so that's my announcements in the excitement of that, and want to just look forward to jump into a scripture here now. With that, we're continuing to talk about the Holy Spirit, and again the essential. And hopefully beginning to wrap this up, I was thinking maybe this was going to be the last day. And then I was thinking next week might be the last day. And it might, depends how it goes today, it might be 3 weeks we might wrap this up. But that would still leave 1 week before we get into the special meetings and Ron Gorman will be here. So I'm trying to just be sensitive to that. Did a couple introductions to this and ran through things real quickly last week. We're kind of moving into this area of outward manifestations of the Spirit. Up until now, we've been talking about the very important work of the inner transformation that the Spirit does. When we open our hearts to Christ, when we're born again, bring Him in, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us and begins this transforming inner process for us. His transforming work, makes us holy. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us is going to make us holy. It makes us Christ-like, which is the goal that we have, to be more like Him. And we talk about Him being the helper, Him being the Spirit of truth. He's the one that reveals Jesus to us, the one that opens scriptures to us, that convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, it talks about. You know, all of these inner things that the Holy Spirit does to transform us, to make us into that new creature, into maturity of that new creature that we become when we're born again. I could go to that verse, anyone that's in Christ is a new creature, the old things passed away. But that's a growing process that the Holy Spirit helps us with. You're not just all of a sudden mature and Christ-like just because you've asked Him into your life or yielded your life to Him. There's a whole process, and the Holy Spirit is involved in that. And it's so those are all the inward works that He does. And again, those are essential. If He's not doing that for you, then the outward things are not going to be very effective. The Holy Spirit is what allows us to live that full, victorious, satisfying, and abundant life. That's what the gospel is. When I say on the bulletin, live the gospel. It's not just have your sins forgiven and get a ticket to heaven, but living a completely different life, a full life, an abundant life, a transformed life, a life that makes a difference, a life full of joy, full of all of the fruits of the Spirit. That's what the gospel is, and that's what we need to be living. And that is possible only through the working of the Holy Spirit. It's not trying harder. It's not being more diligent. It's not all of those things. Our efforts, as much as it is just yielding to Him, letting Him have His way in our hearts and lives. So that's the inward work that we do that we've spent a long time on, and now we're going to spend a little week and kind of have started on that, on the outward manifestations, that again, this bridges from the inward work that He does to the outpouring that we have for the rest of the world. God called His church, commissioned His church to go into all the world and make disciples, to live a life different, to be salt and light in this world, this terrible world, Deb, that you were talking about, you know, all the wickedness and all the evil that's out there and the divisiveness of that. We're supposed to be the ones with the answers. And that was certainly part of all of what we're seeing with the Charlie Kirk and that, isn't it? That, boy, the testimony that was there, and that is an important prayer, that isn't just something that goes on for a week or two, all the people that stood up to accept the Lord at His memorial service, that they would go on and get connected to church and connected to Jesus and live that abundant life then through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're given that task and that fulfillment, and we come back to where we started this whole thing. We can't do anything without that abiding presence in us, the John 15 verse, without Me you can do nothing. We're not going to be effective witnesses. We're not going to change the world, and maybe not change the world, but the people around us, the people of influence in us, if we don't have that power of the Holy Spirit, Him dwelling in us. So we go back here, and that's what we're beginning to look at here then again, is these outward expressions, these manifestations that other people see, that affects the world, affects the church, how the church operates in that. So just starting back, 1 Corinthians 12, 1, and these outward manifestations are talked about in 1 Corinthians 12 and then 14, and we're going to spend time in those verses in these next weeks. And again, he starts this section out, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. And again, the gifts there is not in the original text. The translators felt it was inferred. And I don't know that that's necessarily accurate. He's not just talking about spiritual gifts as we tend to think of them in these two chapters as much as a whole range of things that we're going to look at. What he's really saying is now concerning the spiritual world, concerning the spiritual, I want you to understand. I want you to get a grasp of that. And that's why we're spending this time on all of that. Again, that is the key to the successful Christian life. That's the key to being fruitful, is to understand these things. So we need to take the time to understand these things, to really process them and think through them ourselves. It's imperative that we do this. without that, without the inner work of Him, we're just going to live that life of frustration. If I want to change, but I can't. I keep doing the things that I don't want to do, but I keep doing them. I have all these good intentions, but I can't follow through on them. And we're also, without the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be effective as far as reaching out to our friends and having a solution for the needs that they have. Okay, so we want to be aware, we want to understand these things and grow into the maturity of there. So then we go to today's text of 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So here he gives, you know, three categories of the spiritual world, the outward spiritual world, the gifts, the ministries, and then the effects. And looking at those words again a little bit, the gifts, the word there is the root of that is charisma. And it's talking about, again, your personality, how you come across, how people view you and things like that, just the kind of person you are. And so there again, if we say no, gifts are just what actually is listed as the effects, that doesn't make sense. Because if the word is the gifts, you know, speaking in tongues or doing miracles or words of wisdom, and those things that we will get to eventually next week or the week after, depending on how this goes, those are not your personality. Those are not who you are. And so I think, again, that's where we kind of get in our thinking and where the church has been is, oh, those are the spiritual gifts. If I can heal people, if I can do miracles, if I can raise the dead and things like that. But you might do those things, but those are not who you are. That's not your personality. So when he's talking about gifts, he's talking much more about that. Then the ministries are the positions that you have. The idea is there is the service that you do. And those are appointed by God, we'll see, either this week or next week. And then the effects are the third one of those. And those are the things that we normally think of as far as spiritual gifts. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, healings, miracles. And there's a fairly long list of those things. That word for effects there is the word that where we get energy from. It's the power. It's God's power coming in you to do supernatural things that are beyond your ability. And that's what those effects are. It's you might lay hands on somebody and they might get healed, but that is not you. It's not going to be what you do. It's we sang the song in the name of Jesus. It's going to be Jesus' power flowing through you to do those things. So there is that place and the expectation that we're not just limited to our human resources, our own understanding of things, but God can at times spiritually do supernatural things through us that would be completely beyond our power or ability to do outside of Him doing that. And that's in the areas of information, abilities, or those powers of those things. We'll talk more in depth about those anyways. First thing I would notice about these verses here are there's varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, varieties of effects. And there's a list of each of these in Scripture, but it goes beyond that. It's not just listed to the seven that are in most of those lists. God is not limited. He's not predictable. He's not, you know, He just doesn't have seven models to choose from. But everybody is different. We mentioned that last week. Every one of our fingerprints are unique. And God's working in every one of our lives, and His callings and His purposes for each and every one of us are unique as well. So there's a variety of these things, and they're going to look different for everybody. We always want to be able to put things in a box, right? Especially us men, we like our categories. Just let me file things away and then I don't have to think about them anymore. Give me a title, give me a name for them, and then I can function well. The ladies, they much more like to think and talk about it and process this a little bit different. Well, maybe there's some little, you know, subtleties to this thing. No, just give me, anyways, I get off the subject there. God's ways are not our ways. He's not limited to our labels, our understanding. We want everything to be prepackaged, put it on a little sheet of paper. We want to be able to take a test, answer these 25 questions, and it'll spit out, this is your spiritual gift. This is your calling. You know, and I just don't think those things work very well. It's because it's unique for everybody. It's a variety of their God's just not making cookie cutters out of that for us. He's got a unique plan for each one of us. And then, so all of those varieties again, and that's important to understand. And then you start getting the combinations. You might have one gift, but you might have a different ministry. And if we look, as we look at that, and then he might use you in a different effects in different ways as well. There might be times that you're healing people in that. And somebody that's getting up here to preach that's a teacher, or somebody that's going to get up here that's a prophet, or somebody that gets up here that's an exhorter or a leader, all of them are going to preach different. And that's just the way God works in that. It's the same with the Sunday school classes. Alan teaches a class and he has his way of teaching. Mark teaches a class, he has his way of teaching. When I substitute for one of those classes or when I get to teach a class, it looks differently. You know, each person going to be a little bit different. And that's what's exciting about God's kingdom. It's just not, well, fit into this, do this, do that. Everyone's unique, and we enjoy that is discovering that and living in that fullness and in that. So those are important things. And with that, we grow in these things. It's the process of becoming holy in the inner workings. It's that process of God changing our hearts to where we become more Christ-like. And that happens over the years and over the time. And with these different manifestations that we're talking about, those are something that we grow get used to, have the experience of, be able to understand them better and use them more effectively as well. And again, that's the exciting part of our whole lives. We've always got something to learn new things to experience in God's kingdom, and new levels of maturity and effectiveness that just grow. You know, you don't want to be in third grade all your life, right? Third grade again. Let's do these lessons again one more time. And, you know, third grade's exciting when you get there. And, boy, they're challenging you. Oh, boy, this math and multiplication. They expect me to multiply these numbers or whatever you learn in third grade. Fourth grade's going to have something else in there. And so this is that whole process of learning and not being unaware of the Spirit. So today we at least want to start looking at the varieties of gifts. And they are listed in Romans 12 is where we see these. And so this is what Paul says here. Since we have gifts, again in that same word, charisma there that he's using there, that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there he gives us these seven motivational gifts to look at. And again, they are gifts that are given, and they're given by grace. It's not that we earn those, or it's not a promotion. You know, we start off with showing mercy, and if we're good enough, we'll go up and do something like that. They're all equally valuable. And in each one, again, God knits us and forms us together in our mother's womb uniquely, each one of us. He has a purpose for our lives, and I believe these motivational gifts are something that is inherent in there, that is knit into you at the very beginning of that time. Um, and the purposes that he has that we're created for. And it's these motivational gifts are our outlook. It's how we respond to the world. It's our kind of our life, of the way we, our worldview, how we approach things, how we're going to settle things, how we see and process things, and that are all wrapped up into these motivational gifts. It's a little bit of a kind of a natural inclination. And whether we know it or not, we're probably operating in one of those, one of these areas, because again, it's just kind of a natural a thing that comes, that God has designed us for uniquely, each of us. But with that, I believe that these things are probably implanted in us at birth, but they're really activated and they really come to life when we're born again with that new birth, that they really come alive and they have that that purpose in us. Ephesians 2:10 kind of is what I kind of build this on. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. From the very beginning, when he was fashioning and forming you, he had a purpose for your life. He had something that he wanted you to accomplish, and he's gifting you and informing you in your spirit to respond to those things and to fulfill those things for the good works, again, that we're called to make a difference in this world, to be lights, to be the solution rather than to be the problem in this world that is so desperately needs that. The unique destinies that he has for us, again, that he prepares beforehand, were his workmanship. And with that, and yet it doesn't come alive until the rebirth. It's activated then. He gives us a new outlook and new priorities. We become new creatures at salvation when we're born again, but we're still basically the same type of person, right? Our personalities don't change that much. Peter was loud and brash and the first one to speak up, and he's just going to jump into anything before he came to Christ. And afterwards, again, he has that transformation, the risen Christ, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's the first one to stand up and talk and preach well. He's those same characteristics. Paul is that way. Before he came to Christ, he was very intense. He was very dogmatic. He was very, very studious in all of those things and stuff like that. And when he became a Christian, when the Holy Spirit filled him, those things were turned into, he was still intense. He was still dogmatic. He was still focused on, boy, this is the calling. This is what I've got to do. And so it doesn't change, but it's brought to a new life. The same is true for me. I have always been kind of this type of person. I've always been pretty quiet, you might not believe that, but pretty introspective. I can just sit and think for hours. That's why my to-do list is so long sometimes. But I like to see meaning in life, in people, in the events of that. I did that before I came to Christ. I was observing people. I was looking for meaning. I was trying to solve the puzzles of this world. Turning to rock and roll to find that. I was finding my answers. And when it was there, living in the dorms before I was a Christian, people would come in. I was an art major, so I didn't have anything to do but sit around and draw pictures, kind of a good major to be. I didn't have to go to the library and study or anything like that, crack a book. So my dorm room was open quite a bit of the time, and people from the floor would just at times wander in, especially if they were discouraged or lonely or kind of stuff like that, and I would try to give them the answers. I would quote Bob Dylan to them. I would quote George Harrison to them. Those things, trying to find the meaning of life. And all of a sudden, I got born again. And all of a sudden, those giftings and that motivation that I had comes to life. And now I've got scripture. Now I've got reality. Now I've got the power of Christ to tell people. You're not going to find it in the rock and roll lyrics, although God might put some truth in those at some point in time. But the scripture is what we base our lives on. But I'm still the same type of person. Okay? So that works that way. Again, we're changed from that self-centered life of sin, the power of sin in our lives, where it's all about me and kind of looking out for myself building up my name and my fortune and my glory and stuff like that, to where we become Christ-like and we become the servant of others, where other people are more important than ourselves. No longer looking at just building myself up and becoming famous, but I want to bless other people and give them the information that they need or the help that they need. If we go back to the motivational gifts are listed in Romans 12, 6 through 8. But if we go back to 12, 3 of Romans, he's kind of setting the stage for these things. And we've looked at this a couple weeks ago as well, or at some point in time, I know I've preached from this. Further, through the grace given to me, I say to every one among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed to each a measure of faith. And there again, that's kind of the old world, the pre-Christ way of thinking, that I got to think more highly of myself than somebody's got to stand up for me, right? Somebody's got to do something like that, because the world isn't going to do that. How do I promote myself? And he said, that's, you know, you're not all that important. You're not all that that much outside of me. But to think so has to have sound judgment. So as we say that and we look at these motivational gifts, one of these seven things is going to be the area that probably dominates in your life. That's, again, how you're going to look at things. That's how you're going to respond to things in the world, is through one of those seven motivational areas here. You find your, and because of that, as you begin to understand that, you begin to find your unique place in the body of Christ. You understand who you are, who God made you to be, what your purpose is, how that's going to be, brings balance to your life. It brings that sound judgment that he was talking about there in Romans 3. You're at peace. You realize that I'm an important part, but I'm not the only part, and I'm not the most important part. I'm just part of a team that God has created to do his good works in our world, in our culture today. And with that, then, I'm no longer striving. I'm no longer comparing myself. I'm no longer competing with somebody else, because I know who I am. I know who God created me. And somebody might be a better preacher than me. Somebody might be a better teacher. A lot of people have much more organizational skills than I do, in the leadership skills and stuff like that. But I'm not competing against those people. I'm not threatened by those people. I just realize that as I understand these different gifts that God has given each of us a different there, and it's how we see and understand and respond to the world's problems. And when we find that sweet spot, when we find that gift and begin to understand it, all of a sudden we become alive, we begin to thrive. That's where you find fulfillment. That's where you find your life and your energy and your joy. It's what you're created to do. We could, I know one of the pastors I knew was a woodworker and stuff like that, and had all the right woodworking tools and stuff like that. And he was horrified one day when somebody was in working with his tools and needed a screwdriver, and he grabs one of his wood chisels, fine metal polished to there, and he's going to crank out this screw with that thing. It's not what a wood chisel is designed for, any more than if you want to chisel away some wood, you grab your screwdriver and start hammering on it, okay? We're each designed for our own thing, and we work well and we thrive in that environment when we understand that. We understand these things, our viewpoint, and again, we can be at peace with our place, and also peace with others within the body of Christ. Again, we don't have to compare and compete with those things, but we can embrace the differences, the diversity that we have because of that. And when you understand then your motivational gift, that is where you're going to be most effective. That's where it's going to be easiest for you to minister at. And that's where it's not going to be, oh no, I got to do this again, but oh boy, I get to do this again. It brings me joy. It brings me energy. It fulfills me because that's the way God designed me. And so that's where we can be most effective. I'm not spending most of my time trying to do something I don't do well. And it also gives me, when I understand that, and that there's also dangers in misuse of all of these things. The different, each of these different gifts have a great potential, but they, if you're also using them wrong, they can cause danger and they can cause harm. And so I need to be aware of those things as I understand them. Oh, I got to be careful to not do this, to not go too far, or to not take advantage of these things and distort these things and start to make them about me again rather than about Christ. And with that, then, when we're fulfilled and complete in one area, then we're free to explore the other areas. Because I'm full, I'm happy, I'm enjoying my ministry, because we all ought to do all of these things. We all ought to be able to prophesy. We all ought to be able to serve. We all need to give. We all need to show mercy, right? But I'm going to do one of those things better than anything else. But when I'm complete and satisfied in that, then I can begin to explore these other areas and to learn in these other areas that I'm not so comfortable with, that I'm not so naturally gifted in to do those things. So there's great benefit in such things. You've got a handout in the bulletin. I hope you got that. List these seven gifts and seven kind of characteristics of those, and then three of the dangers, and then a scripture verse that goes with them. And I'm not going to take the time to try to work through this, talk through all of this. Come Sunday night if you want, and we can do that. Or when you're done with your Sunday afternoon questions, spend some time with this and talk this through. Talk it through with your spouse, your mate, or your family, because they're going to have insight too in what they see for you. And learn to figure this out and recognize what this is and ask questions. Maybe, well, I'm kind of between this one and this one. And then get some feedback from other people on those things. Really encourage you to take the time. And again, how important it is to figure this out. This was life-changing for me in my Christian life to understand, oh, this is who I am. This is where I'm comfortable. And you can go through here and try and figure out what I am, too. I think it's pretty obvious, maybe, it's really unique. So let's just go here again with this idea and kind of wrapping this up. So really ask questions, spend some time in this, and this is not all the material. Again, it's a kind of a basic thing on that. Go here and just kind of a practical application of this. There's a variety of these. We need these things. The church needs these things again, and building us as a team that's going to do something. We're not lone rangers. We're not all going out and doing our own thing. We need each other. We need that support and encouragement from each other. We need to grow together with those things. So how does this work? And we looked at this a number of weeks ago, but I just want to go back to that. If we ask each of you, gave you a piece of paper, turn something over, the bulletin over, and write in there, what is the greatest need of the church today? Or you could phrase that, what is lacking in the church today? What's our biggest need? What's keeping us from being effective? What's lacking? You know, what's the need of the church today? And if each of you, you know, you would come up with that answer for those things. Why aren't we effective? Why aren't we bearing much fruit? Now, the prophet, the first of these, would say, well, we've compromised our moral standards. There's no longer right and wrong. You know, we're compromising with the world. We're not holding up to that holy standard anymore. The server would say, well, there's just too many needs. We need to meet the practical needs of different people. You know, we all have needs of different things, a friendship or help or whatever. If we would just meet more practical needs, we would be more effective. Now, the teacher is going to say, no. We need Bible study. We need to get into Scripture. You need to understand what God says here. And that will be what is really lacking in the church. We don't know Scripture enough. And then the exhorter would say, well, I see things a little bit differently. What we need are practical goals. We need the steps to do this. You know, it's not, oh, give your heart to Jesus, but start reading your Bible 5 minutes a day. That's what's going to transform you, the work of the Spirit. We need practical steps, and we need practical goals to do this. The giver is going to say, well, what's lacking is we don't have enough resources. We're just, our building is limiting us. We don't have enough room for children's ministry. We don't have enough room for 4 or 5 Sunday school classes. We don't have the materials we need. Maybe we need more curriculum. Maybe we need a better overhead projector. Maybe we need a better parking lot. Or a better sign out there, you know, that's what's keeping us. That's, you know, why people aren't attracted here. And so that's what the giver would say. No, the leader would say, oh, no, we need to be more organized. Everybody's just out doing their own thing and saying all of these things. We need some sort of structure. We need some kind of a process. We need to know what the end goal is and how to get there, you know, what that is. And we need to get everybody in their right place. And let me tell you what to do. I'll assign you each a task, and you do those, and then we'll move forward because we're all headed in the same direction doing the same thing. And the mercy person, the one that shows mercy, is going to say, there's just not enough love in the church. You know, we're all living our own worlds, and we just need compassion. People are struggling. People are hurting. And we need to come alongside them and put our arms around them and love them and encourage them and all of those things. So we've just come up with 7 different answers for what this church needs. And you know what? All 7 of them are right. All 7 have that view of, yeah, we need better Bible teaching and more Bible study. We can't compromise with the world. We do need to meet each other's needs. We need to have practical goals set for us, steps of action, not just kind of aiming at everything or aiming at the moon. We need more resources. Those could be there. We need to be more organized. I need to be more organized at times. And we need to love each other. And so, again, as the church comes together, as we realize those things and we start having a voice in the church of that, then we start realizing that. And somebody says, well, I can get the curriculum we need. And somebody else says, well, here, let me organize things a little bit better, Ron. You're not very organized. Let me help you with that. And somebody else is going to be the teacher and says, but this is what Scripture says. And then as we all come together and do that, all of a sudden we become effective. All of a sudden we have this vibrancy in our diversity and the varieties of things that we're really meeting God's needs and seeing the bigger picture of God wants us to do. But that means each and every one of us has an important part to play in our church. Each and every one of us. And if you're not taking part of that, if you're not able to voice that and have a say in that, if you're just here as a spectator and that, and I hope the pastor's short and I hope he's entertaining so I can stay awake this Sunday, we're missing it. Again, God has prepared these things ahead of time. He knew Beulah Wesleyan Church was going to be here. He knew you were going to be sitting in these pews. And he knows there's going to be another 100 years for Beulah Wesleyan Church. And we need to pick up that torch and that standard and begin to do those things. We talked about this, that we can have the mind of Christ. Okay? But I don't have all the mind of Christ. It says we can have the mind of Christ, not I have the mind of Christ. I've got part of it. I see from my eyes, I see part of God's world, part of the problems, part of the solutions. I respond to those things. But together we can do that and have that. The church should be diverse. And the church needs to appreciate that and recognize that we need each other. And that's what we're called to, and that's why God is giving us and built into us these different motivational gifts. And so it becomes very important, I think, to recognize those into that. And so, again, a handout here. Look at that. If you want to talk more about these, show up tonight, 6 o'clock, over at the Parsonage and enjoy the... If you get there early enough, you'll get to sit on the new furniture. You're a little late, you might get the folding chairs. Okay, but love to have you, and again, just a friendly discussion in that, and a place to ask questions as well, and maybe to give you some input to those things. So we do have Sunday afternoon questions. They all don't apply because I did not get into the ministries that I was originally in my ambition thinking I should, but hey, I'm going to get done early. Sunday afternoon questions. Why or why aren't you frustrated by the diversity in the church? You know, sometimes if they could just see, if they could just whatever, and that's me just speaking from my gifting, and each of us can be that, but in reality, the diversity should be the strength of that. In what ways do you actively participate in your church? And I hope that's Beulah Wesleyan. And then the last one, what is the most important role of the Holy Spirit for you? And that's kind of an overview question of all the things that we did. How is the Holy Spirit working in your life? How is he helping you? How is he teaching you? How is he comforting you? Whatever you need. How is he challenging you, made to grow and to, again, begin to be comfortable and not just the inward working of the Holy Spirit, but the outward working of the Holy Spirit. What do I have for him to give? What has he given me to give back to the church? Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you just for this day, Lord, that you have known us, that you've known this day. This is a day that you have created. We can rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. The many, many blessings that we enjoy in this place, even as we pray that, mindful that there are many places that our people are suffering, war-torn places, and in whose lives are devastated, or they're picking up the pieces from the devastations of the past and that. Lord God, but your love for us, you have a plan for us. Lord, you have a plan for this church, Lord God. You haven't kept us open for 100 years to just let us melt into the woodwork, kind of pass on, and that this would be the last generation, Lord, that meets here. And Lord, you've given us a message. You've given us salvation. You've given us a gospel to live, a call to be disciples. And Lord God, that we would respond to those things, that we would sense your presence here, your love for us this week, the work that you're wanting to do in our hearts and lives. And Lord, it just help us to be sensitive and to open those things. We are lost without you. Without you, we are not going to accomplish anything. We're just going to be picked off by the enemy without your protection. And Lord, we're not going to make a difference in the world without your power and your life inside of us. So Lord God, be with us. Just bless each and every one. Bless those that aren't here, that are traveling and in different places, those that are struggling spiritually these days, Lord God, that your grace would extend to them. You're not limited to this time and place. So Lord, help us to go just in the fullness and the excitement that you have, Lord, and continue to speak to us and work on these, work in our lives. So we give you thanks and praise for all of these things, that all the glory and all the praise would be yours. In Jesus' name, then, we pray these things. Amen.